Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my delight to serve you all on this wonderful Merry Christmas Eve. Welcome to you online. Welcome to you here. Everyone's welcome. And we are going to start with Jingle Bell Rock as soon as our Jingle Bell Rock singers show up. Here is one of them. We got one coming after this. Meanwhile, if you're a visitor, you can fill out the forms. There's little forms in the seat in front of you. And we would love to get more information so we can send you our e-blast so you can know about other things happening in our congregation.
We're ready.
It's okay. I have a few more things to say. So afterwards, there's going to be coffee downstairs, and there is a bunch of treats. And if you've been in our congregation, you know one of our beloved members, Aven, has been out for surgery, and she showed up today with a beautiful cake to thank us all for all the care we gave her. So show up downstairs. If you're online this morning, you can have coffee with other people by clicking the Zoom link in the order of service that came to you. And if you want that order of service, if you fill out information, then we can send that to you if you fill out those little forms or you email our administrator. Next, so tonight we're going to have another, it's Christmas Eve, so we're going to have a candlelight service later with a pageant for kids who get to dress up in all our parts or adults who want to do that too. And we'll be singing Silent Night at the end with candles, and it's a really beautiful service. So do welcome you to that. All right, we're going to have our opening hymn, Jingle Bell Rock.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air. What a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is the swell time to go gliding in a one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. A mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell rock. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell chime in jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away. Hey, jingle bell time is a swell time to go gliding in a one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell rock. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell rock.
Everybody, you can stay standing and wish each other a...
Over the river and through the wood to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through white and drifted snow. Oh, the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go. Over the river and through the wood with a clear blue winter sky. The dogs do bark and the children hark as we go jingling by. Over the river and through the wood to have a day of play. Oh, hear the bells ring ting-a-ling, hurrah for Christmas Day.
Good morning. I'd like to invite Ada to come forward to light our chalice. We light our chalice this morning for Unitarian Universalism, and the chalice is the symbol of our faith and the ways that its bright light has made the world a better place over the centuries. I'd like you to join me as we say our affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors.
To this new mic. Okay. James Lord Pierpont wrote Jingle Bells in 1857. James Pierpont was the son of Unitarian minister John Pierpont, and James served as the music director of a Unitarian church in Savannah, Georgia, where his brother was the minister. Unitarians did not agree about abolition or about the Civil War, as much as we would like to think that they did. While Lydia Marie Childs was an abolitionist, James Pierpont fought for the Confederacy during the war. Still, he wrote one of the most popular Christmas songs of the last 150 years, reminding us that people have complicated stories and complicated impacts upon the world. So we would like to invite our singers and our children forward to sing Jingle Bells.
Dashing through the snow in a horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Hey!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride, and soon Miss Fanny Bride was seated by my side. The horse was lean and lank, misfortune seemed his lot. He got into a drifted bank, and then we got upset. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Hey!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
The youngest children want to go. We're leaving our oldest children in the service. Does Bruce want to go to the nursery, or is he going to stay here? He's staying. And I'd like to invite Ashley forward. So we are going to do a reading this morning of The Ghosts of Unitarian Christmas. It's written by Doug Murder, and it's been highly adapted and highly abridged. So.
Ben hadn't even meant to be in the discount store, or any store for that matter. It was Christmas Eve, after all, a time when any sensible person stays safe in his house with a good book. He knew the streets would be full of people who were foolish enough to, one, celebrate a holiday whose only real purpose was to sell the junk multinational corporations manufacture in China, and two, put off buying their share of the junk until the last minute. Ben had no patience for large mobs of stupid people.
But then his reading lamp's bulb had burned out, and he couldn't find a spare anywhere. So there he was, in an endless checkout line, and just when he thought the whole ordeal was almost over, the clerk, an obviously exhausted young woman with a fake smile on her face, had the gall to wish him Merry Christmas.
And that was the last straw. Christmas, he snapped. Did I say I was Christian? Don't make assumptions about my religion. Happy Hanukkah, she ventured. But Ben just glared at her. Glad Yule? Something or other Kwanzaa? Ben made an inarticulate, dismissive noise that probably came out sounding like, meh, and then went on the attack. Is there a law that says I have to celebrate something? Can't I just enjoy life? Why can't all you people just leave me alone? The fake smile stayed in place of the clerk. Have a nice evening, she said weakly, probably knowing that she'd be fired if she responded in kind. Ben turned and stomped dramatically out of the store.
Back at home, the bulb worked, but the Pickwick Papers didn't seem as interesting as he'd expected. So Ben scraped the reading idea and tried going to bed early. On the back of his eyelids, he saw an odd green glow. When he opened his eyes, he saw a shimmering, familiar shape. Marley? He said. Ben, long time no see, answered the shape. Marley and Ben had co-chaired the finance committee at their Unitarian Universalist church until the older man's fatal heart attack a few months before. Marley? Ben said in surprise. You're a ghost. Don't be stupid, Marley answered. There aren't any ghosts. You know that. I'm something you ate. I skipped supper, Ben objected. Well then, that explains it.
But Ben felt very awake now, and he hated to be condescended to. Marley, he argued, you're dead and translucent. The ghost looked down and shook his head. Can we just skip over this part and move things along, he asked. You have no idea how embarrassing this is for me. Ben shrugged, and Marley continued. This is one of those Christmas Eve visitations, so I'm supposed to deliver a message. You know the drill. Three more ghosts, they teach you the true meaning of a Unitarian Christmas, yada, yada, yada. Got it? I guess, Ben answered. Marley was already starting to fade. Love to chat, but I gotta go. Don't let them touch the endowment. The room was dark again. Weird. Ben commented to no one, but he was sure that in the bright light of the day, he'd come up with a rational explanation. So he closed his eyes and tried to go back to sleep.
So Ben and Marley, those former co-chairs of the finance team of their UU fellowship, would be so very grateful this morning for all the gifts that you have to give to help our fellowship flourish. Not just for those that are here today, for all of us, but also for those who've not found us yet. And for those who need that balm and inspiration and humor that we bring as a Unitarian Universalist committee and community. The hosts may now come forward to receive our offering. Thank you so much for your gifts. And I invite you to join me in our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
When Ben opened his eyes again, a man in a dark Victorian suit stood at the foot of his bed. "I am the ghost of Unitarian Christmases past," he announced. Ben picked up the book from his bedside table and stared at the back cover. "You're Charles Dickens," he stated. "So you're really a Unitarian ghost?" Ben asked. "We didn't just put you on those famous UU lists because you were a good guy and no other church had a claim on you." "Yes, I am. I was impressed when I met Channing and Emerson," Dickinson explained. "Then I joined the Little Portland Street Chapel when I went home to London. But that's not what I'm here to show you." Now, Unitarians didn't just inherit Christmas from the Orthodox Christian sects. The ghost explained. "To a large extent, we invented it, or reinvented it. For years, the Orthodox didn't know what to do with Christmas. Easter was the big religious holiday. In England, Christmas looked more like Saturnalia than anything Christian. People had wild parties. Caroling was more like trick-or-treating than it is now. Rowdy mobs of the poor would stand outside the houses of the rich and intimidate them into offering food and drink. In fact, the Puritans hated Christmas. It wasn't even in the Bible," they pointed out. "So the Massachusetts Bay Colony declared celebrating Christmas a crime, and you were fined if you did celebrate."
He snapped his fingers, and some people were sitting in pews in a small log room. It is 1789, and this is the first Christmas service in this Universalist congregation. Universalist congregations about this time began defying the Puritans and having a religious observation for the birth of Jesus on December 25th. Unitarians began to join them. He snapped his fingers, and suddenly they were in a room full of people dressed in clothes that resembled the ghosts. A man dragged an evergreen tree to the corner, away from the fireplace, and started propping it up while the others watched with puzzled expressions. "Who are these people?" asked Ben. The ghost said, "We're in Cambridge, Massachusetts, in 1832, in the home of Eliza and Charles Fallon, the Universalist minister and abolitionist. He's bringing a tradition from his native Germany to America. This is the first Christmas tree in New England." A friend wrote about it in a popular magazine, and the idea spread across the United States.
Dickens snapped his finger again. A man was dipping a steel pen into an inkwell. "Edmund Sears," the ghost explained, "another Unitarian minister, writing, 'It came upon a midnight clear in 1849. Sears was a pacifist and abolitionist and wrote words that spoke of the ancient story about the promise on peace, of peace on earth and goodwill to all, and about his longing to see this promise in his day." Snap. Now another man was writing at his desk as bells chimed in the background. "That is Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, the beloved Unitarian poet. He was also deeply upset by the war and all human suffering. After a deep despair at the loss of first his wife and then his son, in 1864, he wrote in his poem, 'I heard the bells on Christmas Day,'
which was actually written on Christmas, that goodness could be reborn. He wrote, "The wrong shall fail, the right prevail." And that as the world revolved from day to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth to all goodwill. The ghost snapped his fingers again, and now it was Dickens sitting at a desk with a blazing fire behind him. When I wrote A Christmas Carol in 1843, I wasn't recapturing the lost spirit of Christmas. I was conjuring it out of whole cloth. My Christmas wasn't about the birth of one specific tradition savior. It wasn't about Christ at all. It was about compassion and friendship and family, universal values. When I had Scrooge's nephew say that Christmas was a time to think of people less fortunate than them as if they were really fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys, I wanted to let my readers understand that they were all people, are connected and interrelated to each other. I wanted people to know that they have the choice to help people or hurt people, and that people can be converted from harsh, complacent, and selfish to being loving, hopeful, and generous. And like Scrooge, we can become part of the whole human community. For me, that was what Christmas should be about. It was a Unitarian Christmas, Ben realized, surprised. Dickens snapped his fingers, and Ben was once again alone in the darkened room. Let us now sing Edmund Sears' song, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear."
Bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth to all who went from heaven vengeance. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled. And still their heavenly music floats over all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they heard her hovering wings. And ever o'er its babble sounds the blessed angels sing. Came upon a midnight clear that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing.
Well, when Ben opened his eyes some while later, another familiar figure sat beside his bed. "I know you," Ben said excitedly. "You're the ghost of Unitarian Christmas present." But you're great. I've seen you on TV. Didn't you play a superhero? Let's not make a big thing of it, the ghost said with a wave of his hand. The scene changed. This is my congregation, Ben said. This Christmas Eve service. I've never even been to one. I'm not Christian. As they walked up the center aisle, the singing began. A carol was followed by a reading and then by a hymn. During the final song, the flame was passed from person to person until everyone held a lit candle. It's a beautiful ritual, the ghost observed. Each person gets out of it what they bring to it and a little bit more, and that's how community works.
The ghost pointed to someone lighting his neighbor's candle. This man is a UU Christian. The story of Jesus touches him, something deep in him. The fact that his fellow parishioners are here with him, listening to the story, singing the songs, it means a world to him. Two rows up, an old woman supported herself with both arms while a girl of 8 held a songbook open. She has been coming to the service since she was a girl herself. In her mind, 5 generations are here, everyone from her grandmother to her granddaughter. And some people wish they were here, the ghost continued, waving his hand, but they can't be.
The fluorescent lights of the discount store were harsh in comparison to the sanctuary's candlelight. The young clerk sighed over her cash register. The ghost says that she's off by $4.83, said the ghost. She's counted it 3 times. Reluctantly, the woman reached under the counter for her purse, found a 5, and made the change for herself. On the strap of her purse was a flaming chalice pen. She's a UU, Ben asked. You're surprised, asked the ghost. You think clerks are all fundamentalists? I didn't say that, Ben protested to no one. He was back in his bedroom alone.
Sometimes life offers comfort and care and joy. Like holiday services like this one that feed our spirits and lift up our souls. Other times, life is filled with sorrow, like when we do things that we later regret. As Betsy plays our music this morning, you're invited to come forward as you feel moved and silently place a stone in the bowl of water that we have here. The water in our bowl represents us, represents all of us, this community. That is the community of compassion that bears all that we hold, all of our sorrows. The water is also our community of celebration, and it shares all of the joys and all of the positive and good things that are happening in our lives. It is here to receive all that is on your heart today. And I will have this microphone with me, and if folks would like to share in a sentence what the stone represents for you, please do. I ask folks to please approach from this aisle and to return to your seats from this aisle.
Need chemo. Adult daughter here, but feeling very ill.
friend died.
And I will place a stone in our water for peace in the Middle East and all that we hold in our hearts for them. And I place another stone for all of the unsaid joys and sorrows that we hold in our hearts this morning.
Do You Hear What I Hear was written in 1962 by Noel Regne, who was a Unitarian Universalist, and his wife, Gloria Shane, who was Jewish. The song was their plea for peace during the Cuban Missile Crisis. You may stand as you were willing and able.
Little lamb, do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
A song, high above the trees with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know?
Do you know what I know?
A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what
listen to what I say.
Bring for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say.
Listen to what I say.
The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light.
The third ghost appeared, its face and body hidden in a dark cloak. In a creepy voice, it announced, I am the ghost of Christmas yet. Marley? Ben guessed. The cowl fell back to reveal a face It's cut back, Smarley said. We have to double up rolls. You're looking less green now. Can we get on with this? Marley stomped his foot, and they stood in front of Ben's church. It was dark. This is the future. I mean, it's a future, not the future. If it was the future, there wouldn't be any free will, which would make this entire exercise pointless. Ben started to comment, but Marley continued his spiel. In this future, the Unitarian Christmas, the Dickens Christmas, the Sears, the Longfellow Christmas, it's gone. Over. There are fundamentalist Christian types who think society is really fighting a war against Christmas. They want Christmas to be a celebration of their particular savior, and they feel oppressed. There are the mirror image radicals on the opposite side who resent having a religious holiday forced upon them. And then there are those multinational corporations selling junk they made in China and running obnoxious ads to make people think that they want it. That's the Christmas of this future, and it sucks. And some little part of this is your fault. Because you are not spreading Unitarian Christmas, you know, with all the kindness, generosity, goodwill, and peace. Got it? Got it, said Ben.
There was sunlight streaming through the bedroom window. Ben looked at the clock and remembered that Christmas fell on Sunday this year. If he hurried, he could still make it to a small Christmas service. Drinking coffee afterwards, he introduced himself to the clerk and apologized. Her name was Melanie. He introduced himself to the clerk. Her name was Melanie, and Ben was surprised how gracious she was about the whole event. As they parted, she asked, "So if not Merry Christmas, what should I wish you?" "Peace on earth," Ben suggested. "Peace," Melanie agreed. "You can't go wrong with peace."
So I'd like us to take some time to sit quietly in meditation or reflection or prayer, as is your tradition. I'd like us to take a moment, take a breath that feels comfortable. Release it. That feels comfortable. Find inside you the place where peace resides. Where is that peaceful place? Is it in your chest? In your belly? In your feet against the floor where the earth holds you, in the chair that holds you. Notice your breath. Peace can be found in silence. And in breath. And it is always yours. You can always have a moment of peace where your feet are firm on the earth that holds you always, in your breath and in silence. Let's sit a moment together in silence. Back into your breath. Notice your body. Move your fingers. Be here now.
Let us sing the hymn that Longfellow wrote, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day."
Your carols play, and mild and sweet their words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head, "There is no peace on earth," I said, "for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Then rang the bells more loud and deep, "God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men."
Go forth into this cold, foggy, cloudy day that we were told was going to have some sprinkles of snow, but I haven't seen them yet. So I want you to go forth into this beautiful day and celebrate Unitarian Universalist Christmas. Be generous where you go. Be kind as your first response. Offer peace and goodwill to all. And offer peace and goodwill to yourselves. So we extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with each of you until we meet again. So we can rise, and the people in the front rows can turn and face the back, and we will sing to each other, "Carry the Flame."